Hello everyone, hello. This year is dedicated to L'ilui Nishmas, Rachel Leah, Bas, Reb Chaim Tzvi. Okay, let's begin. We are in the middle of the Chafetz Chaim's introduction to Sefer Chafetz Chaim. We're going through the laws and the mitzvos that a person violates when in connection with Lashon Hara. And we're seeing over and over again so many examples, so many areas, way beyond Lashon Hara, that the laws of Lashon Hara connect with everything. And if a person is careful with Lashon Hara, he'll end up being careful with many, many other areas of halacha as well. And if a person is unfortunately not careful with Lashon Hara, so it has many ramifications, other lavin as well. Okay, we've said that many, many times before. But okay, I think, people tell me that sometimes I have a very strong tendency to repeat myself. People tell me that sometimes I have a very strong tendency to repeat myself. Okay, let's go on. Now, Lav Yadalad. We're up to Lav Yadalad. What if you embarrass someone? What if you speak Lashon Hara to someone in public and you embarrass them? That's another law. Here we go. If you degrade the person, in front of other people, until the person's face changes. You know, when you're embarrassed, the color in your face changes. Over gam alav de lo tisa alav chait. There's a lav lo tisa alav chait. Sheis hira haTorah bezeh lo levayish as chaveru Yisrael. I feel makom tochacha. Uvenove natsno. Oh, the Torah is talking about you should give someone rebuke. They're doing an aver. You give them rebuke, and the Torah says lo tisa alav chait. Even when you're trying to, in a sense, help someone and give them rebuke, don't embarrass them in public. Lo tisa alav chait. And if you do, it's an aver. So even if you're doing a good thing, you're giving someone proper rebuke, trying to help them in a sense, help them serve Hashem better, and still you have to be careful not to embarrass someone in public. What if there's no tochacha involved? You're just talking to someone. You're just making fun of someone. It's not the rebuke. You're not doing the mitzvah. You're hurting someone. Then certainly, you violate the Saveira. And that's even Shalobarab. That's even if, let's say, there's only one other person around. So if you speak Lashon Hara about someone in front of another person, and the person gets embarrassed, you violate this love. Okay, that's what the Chafetz Chaim says. Very important idea. Again, Lashon Hara is aser, and we have to be careful. But certainly, to speak Lashon Hara about someone in front of another person, terrible. You violate this law as well. You end up with Lashon Hara. You end up embarrassing someone in public. Oh. Already a few times in these classes, we've quoted from Rav Orlik, of Orlik Shlita's book, Raising Roses Among Thorns. And many areas of it, but what he points out in the Sefer is that a person wants to be a good parent and good chinuch, you have to have good midos first. You have to work on your midos. And that's why this book is a wonderful book to read, because the midos development starts now. Even if a person isn't holding by being a parent yet, a person is not even married yet, but still, the midos development in this book that the book talks about is very important. Oh, so here talks about here as well, this comes up in parenting as well. Here in the source sheet, in his book on page 270, he's discussing successful criticism and unsuccessful criticism of children. Sometimes you have to give your children constructive criticism. You give them tochacha. We discussed that as well. That part of parenting is giving guidance, giving tochacha, and therefore you have to know how to give tochacha properly as a parent. So he writes here as follows. Rule number five about successful criticism, Rav Orlik writes, not in public. Not in public. The Gemara points out that Yeruvim ben Nevat merited royalty because he rebuked Shlomo HaMelech, but that he lost his share in the world to come because he did so in public. Children like all of us are sensitive to being rebuked in public. If they are emotionally healthy, they will feel stung by such assaults to their dignity and self-image. Simply in order to save face, they will refuse to acknowledge the correctness of the rebuke and will often become defiant. This is a corollary of our saying that a child would rather die than lose. That's another discussion which he has. Very important. Very important. Sometimes a parent has a point to make to one of his children, and it's a good point, but other people are around. And you have to understand that stings. Kids remember that forever. That my father, my mother, mamish embarrassed me in public. And this we discussed last week as well. That, you know, that the Chazon Ish pointed out that sometimes you want to give your child some to help him serve Hashem better and give him some proper rebuke, and you might violate son Lishas Achliv. So you have to be careful about this as well. That be very careful, very often, and your parents have to think. You have to take a second to think. Wait, I have to get a message across, but is there a way I can pull him to the side, say something quietly, people don't hear? And very, very important, as Rav Orlowick says, that this lav, Yud Dalet, ends up connecting directly into parenting itself. Oh, a few times already I've mentioned, we talk about tochacha, giving rebuke. So I use the language giving advice, giving constructive criticism. This idea that tochacha, giving someone else rebuke, or as we've seen already, tochacha, giving our children's rebuke, that I refer to it as advice or criticism, or constructive criticism, really as advice. This I really get from the Sefer Emes LeYaakov, Rav Kamenetsky. He has a beautiful essay where he develops this theme. I just want to share it with you because it's a major yesod, and it comes up in the classes that we've been mentioning till now already. Rav Yaakov points out as follows. The Rambam, when he talks about giving tochacha, giving rebuke to somebody else, he says that you have to inform the other person that you're doing this for the other person's benefit. That's part of the mitzvah of tochacha, that the other person knows and feels that you're trying to genuinely help them. That's point number one that he makes. Number two, it's very interesting. The mitzvah of tochacha that's mentioned in the Chumash, in Parshas Kedoshim, it's mentioned in the middle of the mitzvos of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, Ahavtirecha Kamocha, Lotisna Lavchet, things like that. Lotisna Chichabovecha, don't hate a fellow Jew. So what's very interesting is that the Torah puts the mitzvah of Tochacha within the other mitzvos, Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. What's the idea? Rabbi Yaakov says like this. Sometimes people think that what is Tochacha? Tochacha is, in a sense, we're trying to, in a sense, be Hashem's policeman. Hashem wants the world to be run a certain way. So, as part of my obligation, I want to do the mitzvos. I want the world to serve Hashem properly as well. So part of my obligation is I should be Hashem's policeman, in a sense, and help others serve Hashem well also, so that the mitzvos are done properly. That Hashem wants the world to run a certain way. Okay. Rabbi Yaakov says that's not the essence of tochacha. The essence of tochacha is not bein adam l'makom. The essence of tochacha is, he writes, bein adam l'chaveiro. My goal has to be, my fundamental goal is to help the other person. I'm trying to help you, just like there's a mitzvah to love every Jew, not to hate other Jews, etc. And that's why the Torah puts the mitzvah of tochacha within the other mitzvos in Kedoshim, of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, of mitzvos of man to man. This is a very beautiful, deep idea. And this is why the Rambam mentions that you have to inform the other person, I'm doing it for your benefit. That's not just a side point. That's part of the definition of tochacha, that I'm here trying to help you. So Rabbi Yaakov writes in his Sefer that your goal when you give tochacha, your goal when you give somebody rebuke is that when the other person responds and listens to you, and first listens to what's their response going to be? What's the response? If you've given tochacha properly, I'm on your side, I'm trying to help you, etc. The response should be correct. The response should be thank you. If you give tochacha in a way that the other person would be able to say thank you, then you're doing it the right way. And that's why I refer to tochacha, as opposed to the English word rebuke, I like to use the word advice, or at least constructive criticism, or advice is a better word, because that's how a person has to give tochacha. Very important idea. And so when we've mentioned tochacha in the previous classes, and this one as well, this idea, either with another person, with a friend, or with a child, you want to get to the point where you're giving tochacha, and it comes across as good advice. I once heard a very important Shalom Bias lecture in a class from Rav Malinowitz, Shlita. He's the editor of Art School Gemaras, and he's the Rav of Shul in Ma'at Beit Shemesh. He made this point as well, that if a person is going to give constructive criticism to a spouse, think to yourself, before you say what you're going to say, when I'm finished, would it be natural for my spouse to say thank you? And that really makes you think twice how to say things, when to say things. It's a wonderful piece of advice. Wonderful piece of advice. We've mentioned here and for parenting with a friend, certainly with a spouse, this is a very good tool for Shalom Bayis to take Rabbi Yaakov's approach to Tochacha and really apply it into the home with Shalom Bayis. It's a wonderful idea, Rav Malinowitz said. Think, will your spouse, when you're done, say thank you? Oh, okay. So this is Rav Yudalid, about embarrassing in public and how it applies to Chinuch and how it applies to Tochacha in general. Well, and we discussed a little more broadly that Tochacha we're defining as advice as opposed to rebuke. Okay. Lav Tezvav. The Chofetz Chaim goes on. Vimu Yosamo Almana. What if the person you're speaking about is an orphan or a widow? Even if they're rich. Afilu Hem Ashirim. V'sip Bergen Nusam and Bifneim. And you speak Lashon Hara. Over old Alav Acher. It says, Kol Amana V'yosam Lo Sa'anun. Don't oppress, don't afflict widows and orphans. In other words, Shehishira HaTorah Bazeh, Shelo Lahaknitan, O Lahachliv Liban, B'shum Min Tsar. A person shouldn't cause any difficulty, any pain, any tsar to an amana or a yosom. V'ansho Mufurish B'Torah, and the Torah says, V'chara Api, and I'll be very angry, and Hashem says. Oh, someone who is in naturally in a difficult position, a weaker position, has difficulty in his life, the Torah says there is a special mitzvah to treat these people sensitively and be extra careful with these fellow Jews. And therefore, if you speak Lashon Hara about an amana or a yasom, then aside from all the other averas, you're violating these as well. But this idea of an almana with widows, there are two beautiful stories about this, about how the Gedolim were very sensitive with widows. See, it's interesting. When a great Gadol dies, his wife becomes a widow, and you know she's an Avelus, but then you know her whole life changes, because a great Gadol, people are often coming to visit, coming to speak to him. He's involved, so naturally she ends up being there with all these these big gedolim are there, and the house is full of divrei Torah and things like that. So I heard separately two beautiful stories that Rav Herzog Zatzal, he was one of the first chief rabbis in the state of Israel, a great gadol. So after he was nifter, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach Zatzal was careful to once a week, he would take some of his talmidim, would once a week go visit his almana, his widow. And they asked him why, and he said this idea. He said, the Rebbetzin Herzog, she was so used to always being, this, people are around, and you know, she was at the table, and she was there for the discussions, divrei Torah, and now suddenly, like, you know, the house is so quiet and empty, and he felt to go share, to, you know, to be interested and you know to bring news from the Gadol world to Rebbetzin Herzog was very important. Many years later, I heard exactly the same story. Rav Salvatik Zatzal, the Rav, he had a, it was more like a Rebbe figure. His name was Rav Chaim Heller Zatzal, a great Gaon, a great giant. The Rav met Rav Chaim Heller already in Berlin, and he stayed very close to him. Really, in his whole life, until Reb Chaim was nifter, and there are stories about the kavod that the Rav showed to Reb Chaim Heller. You know, he would help him off with his coat. The Rav would give a yortzeit shir, and he'd be ready to give the shir. And Reb Chaim Heller would walk in. The Rav would help him with his coat and show tremendous kavod to Reb Chaim Heller. So after Reb Chaim died, the Rav once a week would again take some talmidim and go visit the Reb Chaim's Rebbetzin to visit the widow for exactly the same reason. You have to be extra sensitive, and this is like it's like a very deep point here that these gedolim are pointing out to us an angle on dafka someone who is specifically a widow of a great authority figure, great person, a great gadol. That these gedolim had this hanhaga. Okay, that relates to lav tesvav. Okay. Next is Lav Tezayin. Now Lav Tezayin, the Chafetz Chaim really elaborates on, and Lav Tezayin, the truth is, really brings us into a direct, major halakha l'maisa point. Like practical day-to-day halakha l'maisa, what to do regarding Lashon Hara. So let's begin with Lav Tezayin. The Lav is Chanufa. Chanufa has two literal meanings. One is it means to pollute. Well, Tachanifa was it means to pollute. Also, Chanufa means flattery. So there's a Lav here of false, hypocritical flattery. To flatter someone, but you're flattering them in order to ingratiate yourself to them for some negative purpose. That's a specific lav in the Torah. So let's see it inside. Lav Tezayin. V'lifamim, sometimes. Again, the use of sometimes. You don't always violate this lav with Lashon Hara, but sometimes. V'lifamim, over old al iser chanufa. Shehu lehar be'gaonim, according to many opinions. Lav gomor, it's a real lav. V'hu lav de lo sachanif u'es ha'aretz. Don't pollute the land. Don't pollute the land with false flattery, with hypocrisy. Oh, kigon. He gives now two examples. Imiskaven b'sipuro ha'loshen hara v'harachilus k'dei l'hachanif l'ashomea sh'yudea sh'yeshlo al oso ploni sinah mikvar v'yidei zeh yimsochein be'enav hu avon pulili. This is terrible. So this first example the Chafetz Chaim gives is really, really bad, and let's hope that this is not where any of us are holding. But just what does he say? Here's the example he gives. Reuven has a friend, Shimon. Okay. And Reuven wants to become closer to Shimon. Reuven wants Shimon to like him more. Reuven wants to ingratiate himself with Shimon. Okay. Now, Reuven knows that Shimon really doesn't like Levi. Reuven knows that Shimon doesn't like Levi. So what's Reuven going to do? He's going to go out of his way to speak Lashon Hara to Shimon about Levi. Terrible. Why is Reuven doing this? Because Reuven is hoping, hey, Shimon hates Levi. So if I will tell Shimon bad things about Reuven, if I will tell Shimon bad things about Levi, hey, Shimon's going to like me more. We'll be better friends. It'll cleanse their friendship. That is the classic example of Chanufa. Reuven is doing an Aveira. It's Aser. And he's doing this Aveira in order to flatter, to become closer, to ingratiate himself with Shimon. So Reuven's using an Aveira to bring himself closer to Shimon, to make Shimon like him more, in a sense to flatter Shimon. Hey, I like you. Let's be friends. That is the Isra of Chanufa. That is mamish terrible. And hopefully that's not something we should be holding on. Baruch Hashem, Be'ez Hashem, no one should be doing that. That's mamish terrible. Okay. But then he gives another example. And this other example is unfortunately more common. And it's sometimes difficult to avoid. And you have to really know what to do in the second example. And it's this second example that he gives, where Lashon Hara overlaps with Chanufa, really mamish happens in the real world, unfortunately. Let's read. Veda. Oh. This Aveira in our great sins is very common. The term Avonoseinu Harabim means literally our great sins. This is a term, it's common in rabbinic literature. It's a way of a Rav saying, it's like a lament, Oive. In other words, when a Rav wants to make a point to say, oh, what I'm going to describe now is terrible and it's unfortunate, it's a bad thing. So in a way, instead of saying Oive, they'll say in our great sins, this is what we have. But Avonoseinu Harabim. Vehu, listen to the case. Kishe'echod misaber b'gnus chaveiro. Someone speaking Lashon, Reuven speaking Lashon Hara. All right. V'hashomeya, and the listener. Av shemakir shedavar zeh. Shedibar al chaveiro shelo min hadinhu. Shimon's the listener. Shimon knows that what Reuven is saying is aser. Reuven is speaking Lashon Hara about Levi. Again, like the first case. Reuven is speaking Lashon Hara about Levi. Shimon's listening. Shimon knows that it's aser. It's aser. But afal pichein hu gam kein minanei rosho ledavar zeh. Shimon also nods his head. Umachri gam hu es hadavar b'lishono. And he smooths out what Reuven's saying with his own words. If someone's talking to you, and you know you're listening to someone, so normally you don't just stand there like with a blank stare. I mean, here I actually can't tell how people are listening because We're talking to a camera. But in general, when you talk to someone, you talk to a live person, so then if you're talking to someone, the normal thing is, the standard thing is, the person nods along, the person says, yeah, uh-huh, like, you know, there's some sort of reaction. If you're talking to someone and there's no reaction at all, they'll say, hello, are you, like, you know, because it's strange. It's strange if Reuven's talking to Shimon, and Shimon just sort of like sits there like a stone, that's you know, non-standard social interaction. So Reuven's talking to Shimon. Shimon knows it's Aser. What does Shimon do? But he's listening to Reuven. So he'll nod along. He'll add a few words. He'll add a few words to show that he's involved in the conversation. Shemosif Eza Tevos Lifgam. He'll add a few. Yeah, I know that too. Oh yeah, he did the same thing to me. He'll add a few words of Lifgam of something negative about Levi. Why? Why is Shimon doing this? Mipnei Shemasaper Lifamim Hu Bala Bayis Chashu V'Chadomim. Reuven could be an important person in the neighborhood. Reuven might be his boss. Sheyesh lo mimenu tovos. O yorish yachziku osareinu chacham v'chadome. Reuven might be his boss. Reuven might be somebody very important. Or stam. Shimon doesn't want Reuven to think that he's strange. If someone talks to you, and again, you don't respond, nothing. You just sort of stand there like this. Nothing. It looks a little strange. That probably looked a little strange. So if someone's talking to you, it's strange to do that. So Shimon's caught in a bind here. He knows it's Aser. And so he nods along. He says, he adds a few words. V'alkein, you see, senu ha-yetzer. The Yetzirah will seduce you, will trick you. Mipnei atzchak. She'yaskin gam hu lezer. To also agree. This is what the Yetzirah says. Aval teida achi, no, my friend, the Chafetz Chaim, my brother, my friend, the Chafetz Chaim says. Zeu be'etzem lab de chanufa. That's the aver of chanufa. Feeling Rak Yosef A's at tables. You add a few words. You say a few words to add on to it. That's mamish alav in the Torah. Terrible. Now we'll see. You see, this is, you can be violating Chanufa even if for some reason technically the Lashon Hara itself, you know, you're stuck. Now, let's say as far as Lashon Hara goes, you're stuck. You're on a van and someone starts talking Lashon Hara to you. No, so you're not going to like, you know, jump out the window. You're not going to jump out the window. So you're stuck there on the van. So what are you supposed to do? So as far as Lashon Hara goes, since you're stuck, just stuck there listening, you're not violating Lashon Hara because you're stuck. We're going to discuss that in a few minutes, what to do. We'll get there in a few minutes. But there's Chanufa here. You add a few words, your mom is doing Chanufa. Oh. And now the Chafetz Chaim says, he gives Musar. V'alpia Torah, Sarif b'shas ma'ase al kol panim. When it's happening, at least lischazeg ma'od, strengthen yourself. Shelo l'sayo, not to help, not to add on. Afilu b'tznua achas, even in any little movement. Sheyerami menu shumaskin l'sipuro. Don't do any movement, any action which shows that you agree with the person saying. V'alze shayich maimer chazal. Be'edios. And on this case, what Chazal say applies. What does Chazal say? Mutav shi'ikari adam shota b'chol yamav, and not to be a shota in front of Hashem and Olam Haba. The Gemara says, the Mishnayos say, it's better to be called, to be viewed as a shota, as somebody, as a simpleton, somebody a little strange in this world, your whole life in this world, than to be called even for 1 second a shota in front of Hashem and Olam Haba. Well, so that's the lav to Chanufa. So again, a person is speaking Lashon Hara to you, and you know it's us. So don't in any way nod along or add in some words. That's Mama Shalav de Chanufa. I once had a friend who told me a story. I didn't know who he was talking about. He was telling me a story that he went on a first date, and he picked up the girl he was going out with, and he walked into the house, and he met the father of the girl he was going out with. And right there, he meets her. He meets the father for the first 5 minutes. The father starts speaking Lashon Hara to him. Lots of Lashon Hara. He didn't know what to do. I mean, he's trying to make a good impression. You know, to be, in a sense, somewhat social. But here, Mamash Chanufa staring him in the face. Okay, whatever he did. It was a difficult situation. So one piece of advice to fathers. Don't do that. It doesn't make a good impression, and you're putting the person on the spot. I would strongly, but don't do that. Anyway, I thought it's a typical situation. All right, that's Chanufa. Now, Chanufa comes up halacha lamaisa. We're gonna move now to halacha lamaisa because lav tezayin mamish directly is connected halacha lamaisa to the Chafetz Chaim in Klal Vav. The Chofetz Chaim in Kral Vav discusses the Isser of hearing, of being Makabel Lashon Hara. Hearing Lashon Hara, believing Lashon Hara. Okay. Oh, that's what the Chofetz Chaim talks about in Kral Vav. Now, in Kral Vav, the Chofetz Chaim says a Chiddush, and this Chiddush leads into a Halacha L'maisa case that links up to Chanufa. So let's go step by step. First of all, the basic Isser of Kabbalah's Lashon Hara is to believe the Lashon Hara, to believe the negative ramifications of what the person said. Someone speaks Lashon Hara to you. Reuven speaks Lashon Hara to Shimon about Levi. Shimon accepts it, thinks more negatively of Levi. That's an Isser Deraisa of Kabbalah's Lashon Hara. Okay. That's Halacha Aleph. Okay. That, Bezer Hashem, we'll discuss more in, probably in the next class, some details about Kabbalah's Lashon Hara. Now, then the Chofetz Chaim says a Chiddush. In Klal Vav Halacha Beis, Seif Beis, the Chofetz Chaim says a Chiddush. That not only is it usher to believe Lashon Hara, it's also usher to hear Lashon Hara. The Chofetz Chaim writes, Afal Shmias Lashon Hara, Levad, Gam Ken Yesh Yisra Min HaTorah. After Be'ez HaShmiya, Ein B'dayto L'Kabel L'Sadover, Kevin Shemata Ozner V'Shmoa. Just to hear Lashon Hara's Aser, even if your intention is not to believe it, but if you listen, if you move your head, if you intentionally try to listen to the Lashon Hara, that's a lav of hearing Lashon Hara. We mentioned this earlier, in one of the earlier classes we spoke about, how the Chofetz Chaim talked a lot, a big talker. And we discussed then two pshatim, that the two different traditions, why was the Chofetz Chaim such a big talker and he would talk a lot and take over a conversation? One shot we gave was that the Chofetz wanted to show that you can keep the laws of Lashon Hara and be social and talk to people and don't think that people keep Lashon Hara, you know, like they're hermits and they can't be. No, you can talk to people. You can be involved in the world in a wonderful way. That's one pshat. The other pshat we gave back then was, this is the pshat that Rav Kamenetsky gave. It's in his biography. Rav Yaakov Zatzal said, his masara was that the Chofetz Chaim said like this, I know the laws of Lashon Hara, so I won't speak Lashon Hara. Okay. There's also an aveira to hear Lashon Hara. I don't hate Lashon Hara either. So therefore, if I'm in a conversation and I'm talking more, others are talking less, there's less of a chance of hearing Lashon Hara. That was the other masara that we had. So that masara, that Rabbi Yaakov, that tradition that he had, as to why the Chofetz Chaim was a big, big talker, that is exactly Klal Vav Halacha Beis, Seif Beis that we just learned now. That's what it is. Okay. Now, Seif Hei in Klal Vav builds on Seif Beis. Bezer Hashem, we'll get to Klal Vav later in order. We'll do it as Aleph and Gimel and Daud. But for now turn to Seif Hei. So Chofetz Chaim says, wait a second. If hearing Lashon Hara is Aser, well, what are you supposed to do? The example I gave, you're on a van. You're going somewhere. You're sitting there minding your own business. You have a couple of friends next to you. And one starts speaking Lashon Hara to you. What are you supposed to do? Oh. Taka, I was just thinking, you know. I mean, I know I made a joke. You know, don't jump out the window. But as a joke, one could say, you know, if Indiana Jones could do these crazy things, to jump out of things into things, that's not a bad idea. Maybe for Purim, that's not a bad joke. That a person is on a van, hearing Lashon Hara, she might just jump out somehow. And okay, fine, maybe that's a joke. I don't know. Assuming we're not going to jump out the window, we're not Indiana Jones. All right, here we go. V'yata nafzer l'nyenu hanal d'ma shekasav nebesif beis de'afiru shmias Lashon Hara hu iser Torah. It's usher deraisa to hear Lashon Hara. Hainu. Leilech v'lishmoa. That means to go and hear Lashon Hara. To go and hear. To go and listen on purpose. The Chofetz Chaim says in Issa Deraisa. Well, Aval. Im yashav v'chavuras anashim. Shenizkab su'linyan ma. What if you sat down with some people and they're not going to speak Lashon Hara necessarily? V'yizchiru utabar dvarim asurim. Now, so here, it's not on purpose. You're on the van. You're stuck. You didn't know it was going to be Lashon Hara speaking van. So you're on the van, you're stuck. So what are you supposed to do? So, first the Chofetz Chaim says, Tochacha is not going to work. To gently tell them to stop is not going. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. You're aware it's not going to work. Okay. So, im efshar leich mi b'sivasam, if you can leave, that's better. Ol haniach etzbal ba'aznav. Ol haniach etzbal ba'aznav. Or put your finger in your ears. That's also a possibility. Mitzvah rabbah ose b'zeh. K'moshim chazal b'ksuvas. The Gemara in Ksuvas talks about everything in the Bria has a purpose to it. So the Gemara says that one of the reasons a finger is pointy, it can, and our fingers aren't webbed. How come our fingers aren't webbed? The answer is that with a pointy finger that's not webbed, you can fit it into your ear. It's not to your lashon hara. That's what the Gemara says. But let's say it's not going to happen. You can't get away. They're going to embarrass you. They're going to make fun of you. A person, listen, the reality is a lot of people just couldn't do this. They couldn't do this. You're not going to do that. They'll laugh at you. It's very embarrassing and it's too much. So the Chofetz Chaim is aware. You're not going to do this. In other words, you've gone to hear Lashon Hara and you can't jump out the window. You're not going to put your finger in your ear. So what are you supposed to do? You're facing a lav here. You're facing a mamash, a lav. You're facing an issur d'oraisa of not hearing. What are you supposed to do to avoid the aveira of hearing lashon hara? Now, the next line is so powerful. This shows you how the Chofetz Chaim approaches the world, approaches Avodas Hashem. Al kopanim yira oz lizares es atzmo ulahamid al nafsho. And at least at that point, you should strengthen yourself. Be'est zara kazu at this difficult moment in your life. Ve'lilcho mechemas Hashem im yitzro. And fight the wars of Hashem with her Yetzirah. Kedei shlo yikashel al kol panim be'isur de'araisa shel shmias v'kabalas lashon hara. In order to avoid the isur de'araisa of shmi and kabalas lashon hara. What's fascinating here is the Chofetz Chaim Mamish. This is how he describes life. When a person is facing a lav in front of him, it's mamish a war. And he wants you to be straight. It's like you're fighting a war. Well, so the Chofetz Chaim is going to say now that there are three things a person has to do in order to avoid this Issur D'oraisa of hearing Lashon Hara and Kabbalah's Lashon Hara. You're stuck. You can't get away. What are you supposed to do? There are three details, three things you have to do. Shezar b'hen ma'od. They have to be very careful about. And this way you'll at least avoid the Issur D'oraisa. Aleph, number one. Yachlit bin Nafsho Beheskem Gamur Shalo Lahamin Ladiri Agnus Shemisapan al Chavim. Number one, you're not Makabal. That's the basics. You can't be Makabal the Lashon Hara. You can't be Lashon Hara, it's Asur. You can't be Makabal the Lashon Hara. That's number one. Okay, that's very clear. Okay. Number two. Lo Yihye Nichale Bishmias Sipurehem Haisirm Hei. This is already interesting. The Chofetz Chaim has a very long footnote about this. You shouldn't be happy about it. Nichale means something which you're happy with the outcome, you're comfortable with, that you're happy that it's happening. That's called nichale. Now this is very important. This unfortunate person has to work, you have to fight this. You're on a van. And you're careful with lashon hara. And then two people are talking lashon hara, like, right past you, and you say to yourself, oh boy, this sounds really interesting. I mean, I don't believe anything I'm hearing, but wow, that's interesting. That's awesome. You can't be happy you're hearing it. If you're happy, what's the idea? If you're happy you're hearing it, that's like going to listen. Just like the Chofetz Chaim said, what's the issue? The issue is to turn your head to listen, to move your ear over to listen, to go and listen. So you didn't go to listen. You're stuck there. And you're hearing it, you're stuck there. But if you enjoy it, enjoying hearing it, basically is similar to, it's basically the same as going to listen on purpose. Yeah, I'm enjoying it. You know, you're focused. You know, you're using your brain to focus on hearing what they're saying. See, after number two, you have to feel inside, I'm not happy that I'm hearing this. Boy, I'd rather be somewhere else right now. And then he says, Gimel, and this is Lav Tez Zayin. Then he says, Gimel, Gam Yamid Al Atzmo, be strengthen yourself. Don't show the speakers any action, any movement. That it seems like he accepts what they said. He agrees with what they said. Ach, this is the challenge. Yeshev ke'even domain. Evan Duma. sit like a non-moving, a silent stone, a silent rock. No reaction whatsoever. Vin yuchal laharos lifneihem, punning nizamim, shevim menu shu'enu maskim v'divrem ha'avolim, bevadehu tov yoser. If you can somehow, you know, show in a negative face as well, that depends on the situation, whether you're able to do that, that's even better. But at least an even dumam, no reaction. You can't nod along. You can't say, yes, I agree, things like that. So the Chafetz Chaim here, in Klal Vav Seif Hei, he refers back to our love of Chanufa. He refers to here in the footnotes. He says here in footnote Tes Vav, in Klal Vav, he says as follows. V'gam yavral yidei zeh b'isr Chanufa. Shuvan chamur ad ma'od, as Chazal say, v'ayin le'el b'psicha, lavin os tezayin. So the Chafetz Chaim in Klal Vav, Seif Hei, refers specifically to the ilav of Chanufa. This is one of the challenges, and this is mamash lemaisa. You're stuck hearing Lashon Hara. You want to avoid a lav. We're talking about a real lav here. A real lav. So this is what you have to do. Number one, don't be makabel. That's for sure a given. Number two, you shouldn't be happy you're hearing it. And number three, you shouldn't in any way show agreement with what's being said and nodding along, and I agree, or saying words that also smooth. That's a very potent phrase the Chafetz Chaim used. Yachlik. It means to smooth it out. You know, when someone's talking to you, like, you know, you smooth the conversation, you keep it going. The normal, you know, interjections was, yes, oh yeah, really, oh, like, you know, to keep the conversation going, you can't do that either. Now, this is a big challenge. It's a big challenge. This happens in real life. You could be at a table, you could be talking to people, maybe even relatives, and someone's speaking Lashon Hara to you. And as the Chafetz Chaim said, very often to give tochacha, it's not going to work. That's not appropriate in that context. Maybe number two, to put your fingers in your ears, it's not going to work either. What are you supposed to do? So you have to. But this is hard. Someone's talking to you, and you're sitting there like a stone, no reaction. So how do you do this exactly? So it's a difficult question. It's a challenging question. I will tell you one idea that I've heard, and I've given advice about this, and people, I've gotten feedback that it works. And you have to respond somehow. So there's a wonderful word in the English language that is a response, but it's completely neutral. It's completely neutral. You're showing you're listening, you're showing you're responding, but you're not in any way furthering the conversation. And to me, that word is whatever. Say it the right, whatever. Someone's talking, they're saying, Lashon Hara, someone says to you, someone's talking to you, maybe even a relative, and says to you, oh, in the neighborhood something's happening, that this is happening, and Mr. So-and-so did this, and Miss So-and-so this, it's terrible, I think it's terrible, and they're saying all these things, and you're sort of stuck listening. And what do you think? So you say, I don't know, whatever, I don't know much of an opinion, whatever. What do you mean? No, I don't know, it's not, whatever, I don't know. And I'm not saying it's a perfect solution, but it's a response. I don't know, comma, whatever. And it's a way to, because like, you don't want to have an opinion. And it helps move the conversation along. And without in any way agreeing to the Lashon Hara, being involved in the Lashon Hara, I found, and I've had students who've told me this, that you, I don't know, whatever, like that. It's something which can work. Oh. Once I was at the... I don't remember even where this happened. It's a long time ago. It wasn't a relative. It must have been not a relative. And some topic came up, and we were talking, and I said this whatever, I don't know, whatever thing, someone came up with Lashon Hara. So someone said to me, you know, you're so boring. And I don't know, sometimes people tell me that I'm a little strange, and my wife especially tells me sometimes I'm a little strange. And I said, thank you very much. Now, and I meant it honestly. I meant thank you. I'm boring. In other words, what they meant this. I didn't want to discuss somebody else. I said whatever. I said I don't know. So when they said I'm boring, I said, yeah, thank you. So things, I don't know. I guess I thought it was cute. And maybe it is a little strange too. Okay. My wife's normally right. So it's cute and it's strange. But okay, I said, and Baruch Hashem, if a person can develop a reputation that when it comes to other people's lives and to negative things out there, that they're boring. Baruch Hashem, be boring about that. Good, be boring. Say whatever. Say, I don't know, I'm not sure. So this is the Lav of Chanufa. This is Klal Vav, Seif Beis, and Seif Hei. That it's usher not only to believe Lashon Hara, it's usher to hear Lashon Hara. So what are you supposed to do if you're hearing Lashon Hara? These are the three things. And the third one, especially the third one about the Lav of Chanufa, in no way to be involved, to say yes and to agree and to go along with the conversation, add words, lefgam, yeah, he did it to me too, which is unfortunately quite a normal thing to do. That is mamash Lav of Chanufa, and that's Klal Vav Seif Hei. Okay. Now, this love of hearing Lashon Hara is actually fascinating. Where does this come from? It's a very long footnote. See, normally, when a person learns through the Gemaras and the topic, it's normally about believing the Lashon Hara. Where does the idea of hearing Lashon Hara come? Where does the hearing Lashon Hara come from? Oh. So, the Chabad Chaim has a very long footnote to explain this, and he quotes from some of the Rishonim the following idea, and it's a fascinating idea. He says as follows. He says, this issur to hear Lashon Hara, it's basically an extension of the lav of believing the Lashon Hara. It goes like this. Normally in the Torah, if there's a lav in the Torah, this is prohibited, this is asur. Okay. So normally we view it, sometimes we build a fence around the lavs of the prohibitions of the Torah. You build a fence around it. The Torah says this is asur. Other things are mutter. So very often, Chazal come along and build a fence around the Torah and say something's asur midrabanan because if you do this activity, it might lead to the lav deraisa. It's asur to write on Shabbos. You can't pick up a pencil and write on Shabbos. So one of the reasons why one's not allowed to move muksa, why can't you move a pencil on Shabbos, like, you know, move it normally with your hand? One reason is we don't want you moving and touching objects that you might do malacha, that you can do a malacha with, you can do a prohibition with, because if you're touching and moving the pencil, you might pick it up and write with it. So one reason behind the prohibition of muksa on Shabbos is that it's a fence around the laws of Shabbos. That's one of the reasons. So that's what we're used to. We're used to that the Torah says something's prohibited, and then there's a broader fence around the Torah, which the Rabbanan establish in order to protect us and guard us from violating the Torah itself. It's based on a pasuk, "Vasu mishmeres l'mishmarti," that Hashem tells the Rabbanim, enjoins the Rabbanim to put a fence around the Torah. Once in a while, we have examples where, if you look in the Mefarshim carefully, you have one law in the Torah, one prohibition in the Torah, which is severe, and then the Torah itself establishes another law, where this second prohibition, its basic core, its basic yesod is, it's a fence around the more severe one. This comes up once in a while. For example, a Kohen is not allowed to become tame to a mace. A Kohen is not allowed to allow himself to have tumah, to have tumas mace. In other words, a Kohen, that's why Kohanim don't go into a funeral if a hesped is being given inside a building and the mace is there, the Kohanim stand outside. Okay. So, the Mishnayos talk about, according to some opinions, the Kohen Gadol, if someone in his family would die, not only is he not allowed to be there at the funeral itself, he has to be even careful how he follows the funeral, or even, some say, he isn't allowed to actually leave the Beis HaMikdash. He can't leave. Why can't he leave the Beis HaMikdash? So some explain that we're afraid that once he leaves and he's there and he's involved in the funeral procession, he by mistake might become tamei. So some of the Mefarshim say that there, it's usher from the Torah for the Kohen Gadol to leave the Beis HaMikdash for the funeral of a relative, because we're afraid that he might become tamei. He might become tamei. That's an example where one prohibition is a fence around another. So the Chafetz Chaim says a similar thing is happening here. He says as follows: Cave unto Asur HaTorah Ha'amana Belev Beginuso Shel Chaveiro. Since the Torah prohibited believing in your heart something negative about your friend, Ukamosha Kasav Nuel, B'Shem Rabbeinu Yonah, Im Kein, Hu Adin, Te'af Rishmoa Aser, Shelo Yavo Lidei Ha'amano Belev. The Chofetz Chaim maintains that hearing the Lashon Hara is a fence around believing it, which makes a lot of sense. You might have the best intentions. I'm not going to be Mekabel. I'm not going to believe the Lashon Hara. But once you hear it, there is a chance of believing it. So the Chofetz Chaim maintains that when he says in Klal Vav Sif Beis that it's usher to hear Lashon Hara, that's a fence around the Isser of believing Lashon Hara. Okay. So what we did today was we did Lav Dalid, Lav Tezvav, and Tezzayin. We discussed Lashon Hara and embarrassing someone in public. We discussed Lashon Hara about an almana and a yasom. You have to be extra sensitive to someone in a weakened position. And we discussed at length Lav Tezayin, Chanufa, false flattery, hypocritical flattery, and we have to be very careful to avoid connecting Lashon Hara and Chanufa with this very lemaisa example of what to do if you're stuck hearing Lashon Hara. The three things you have to do, as the Chofetz Chaim says, to fight the Mechemes Hayetzer, to avoid violating the Lav of Shmias and Kabbalas Lashon Hara. Okay, we'll stop here.